You know, we'll see as we move forward. I'm not ready to paint with a broad brush. Again, we're making moves with the intentions of being better. And so we'll see as we move forward.
Well, if you have red paint, Mike Tomlin, why don't you paint the barn red? Famous Tomlinism, why not? On the first drive? What did he like from it? Also, Matt Canada being on the sideline. If there are results, they're going to continue to roll with it. Well, there were scattering amounts of results. So why not continue to go with it? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I personally think that the offensive coordinator should be on the sideline. I think it's a real thing when Matt Canada or whoever you want it to be can sit there on the bench, on the sideline, and talk to Kenny Pickett and be able to circle things on the Microsoft Surface tablet, be able to go over things, go over the last sequence of plays, go over what you want to run in the next sequence of plays, what you think is going to be the best to attack the defense, sitting side by side, looking at it together, being in person. There's a real thing for me. It might just be me. Maybe it's different for other people. But being able to have those conversations in person compared to over the phone where you can look at each other, you can understand and make eye contact, see what the other person is truly thinking, and be able to go over it, discuss it. It just creates for more free form and a smoother flowing conversation. And I think more could be taken away from that. I think it's just natural, like, to be able to have a better conversation and to be able to get more things done and to be more effective. It's just better and easier in person to be able to do that than over the phone. It's like any type of conversation that you have with a family member, with a friend, a work meeting in person instead of over the phone or anything like that. I think there's some parallels. I think there's some things that are similar to be able to look at from that regard. 20-16, Steelers win it. 5-3, two games over 500 with Green Bay coming up next Sunday. Will Apollo, what's going on, Will?
Hey, how's it going? It's a cold one this morning.
Yeah, very much.
But I have like 3 points. I think Kenny Pickett looked like garbage, honestly. That's as nicely as I could put it. He missed a lot of throws. I think we should have had close to 30 points last night, honestly, if he would have hit the throws he needed to keep the drive moving. I love the move by Broderick Jones. I honestly think that's why our run game had stepped up like it did. He brought a different sort of physicality that we weren't used to having, and he blocked great. And then my last thing, I noticed on Deontay Johnson's touchdown catch. It was his first one he's had in how long?
Yeah, over 660 days.
You watch George Pickens' attitude, though. Like, that kind of concerned me. Like, he's not thinking of the team and how that helps the team. He walked over to the sideline, and he was pouting. He looked disappointed, and I was really concerned about that. I'm concerned, you know, what's going on in his head, you know, what's he thinking about. I know he didn't have a great game, but at the end of the day, as long as you win and it's a team game. So this is something I was thinking about.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Will. Lots of really good points there. I was at the game, and I saw afterwards on Twitter the notion or the point that he was making about George Pickens. And it's been talked about a little bit in the last couple of weeks, with the penalties, the tauntings, the unnecessary things from George Pickens. The hope defense comment about Jacksonville's secondary last week. Which, look, how much more added incentive and motivation do you need when you're in the NFL? You're at the highest of levels. You're playing against the best of the best. But still, there is the opportunity for bulletin board material and things that teams could take away as a talking point. It's a real thing. Jacksonville's secondary was talking about it after they won. Pickens had 2 catches for negative yardage. It wasn't good. And I think that's a really good point from Will, because, look, Deontay Johnson finally reached the end zone. Like, the biggest war for Deontay Johnson, other than not being able to be healthy this year, over the past year and a half, the biggest like internal conflict for him that has played out on the field has been the inability to get into the end zone. For him, it must have felt like the weight lifted off his shoulders, the monkey off his back, for Johnson to finally be able to reach the end zone. He was solid. 7 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. He was really good. But if you look at the overall receiving stat list in the box score, George Pickens had 2 catches, negative 1 yard. And that is something to look at because he did kind of look down that he wasn't the guy. He wasn't the one that got the ball. He was targeted 5 times, but only 2 catches. I remember one of them where it was a quick pass to Pickens and just near side of the field, right away, boom, tackle dropped. Not much there. He lost like 3 yards on the play. It was like 2nd down and he lost 3 yards. So are they scheming him up to be in the best spots? That's somewhere you can look and criticize Matt Canada, who overall called a decent game, I think. He also pointed out Broderick Jones. I thought Broderick was good. Every time he's played, I thought he's been pretty good. Whether it be the preseason. First preseason game was a little bit eh. But then again, it's his first game in the NFL. There's going to be some kinks to work out. First of 3 preseason games. Since then, he's continued to get better. He's continued to improve. And that's something that you want to see from your rookies. Right? It's the same thing that we're seeing from Joey Porter Jr. So for the Steelers to have an effective running game, Warren, 11 rushes for 88 yards. And Najee, 16 carries for 70 yards. Jaylen Warren averaged 8 yards per carry. Najee averaged 4 yards per carry. Calvin Austin, a couple jet sweeps. I thought the jet sweeps were well-timed. Now, they were kind of predictable. Like, when you notice the formation, and maybe it's because we consume so much Steelers football, we watch so much Steelers football, that I was not surprised whatsoever when the 2 jet sweeps were called and run. But they were kind of effective. They worked.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They flipped the field a couple of times with Presley Harvin. Overall, it was a fundamentally, other than the penalties, decent game for the Steelers. Like the Broderick Jones 15-yard penalty wasn't good. I think Tennessee had 5, maybe 6, I think was the official number I heard last night. First downs? Might have been 4. But it was more than 3. First downs by penalty in the game. Steelers overall penalties, 10 for 80 yards. But guess what? Interceptions thrown? 0. Fumbles? 0. So one thing that we look at for this team and we say, it's not pretty. They're winning ugly. Yeah, but they're not turning the ball over. And when you win the turnover battle, and I know Jacksonville turned it over a bunch and still won last week, but Will Levis coughed it up in the final 15 seconds. Interception to Quan Alexander, who was backpedaling towards the end zone, made the play. And what was really, I mean, the Steelers went out there and said, all right, here you go. We'll shove it at you, defense. You got to be the one to make the stop. Make the play. The $200 million defense, pretty much. Without Minkah Fitzpatrick, without Cole Holcomb, who has a significant injury. That's horrible. The Cole Holcomb injury. It's unfortunate. You hate to see it. He's played so well. And he collided with KZ. Really upsetting. Unfortunate injury for Cole Holcomb, who, by the looks of it, he's probably going to be out for the year. And if not, it's going to be a significant, significant amount of the season. But how about Joey Porter Jr.? If there's anybody that has continued to grow, and I think Broderick Jones will be in a pretty similar light as well, but Porter was good against the Titans. 7 targets, 1 catch allowed. 3 total tackles, 1 pass defense. Now, he was a part of why the penalties were a problem. He was, I remember one play. I'm sure you remember this one. He lined up in the neutral zone and then committed right off the snap an illegal contact penalty. Also, did anybody else notice the unusual amount of illegal contact penalties? There were more in that game than there's been all season. Like, that was a point of emphasis by the officiating office, by the head of officials, to say, look for illegal contact. It's something we've seen a lot this year. Look out for it. Keep your eye on it. Call it. Joey Porter Jr. against DeAndre Hopkins was solid. And he said that in the postgame, he wanted Hopkins. He wanted 10. He wanted to go up against him.
When did you find out they were going to kind of have you travel with him a little bit? And how different was that from the way you've been deployed for the first 7 games?
Man, on Tuesday, I went to Coach T, and I told him I want 10. Like, that's what I was looking for. You know, I don't really hide from nothing. So I was like, that's the matchup I want. That's the matchup I need. So he didn't really say yes on Tuesday. He's like, we're going to think about it. Because they were like, that's kind of crazy. But throughout the week, they was like, all right, we're going to let you get 10 on some reps. And then throughout the game, it was like, you just go where 10 at.
You realize they haven't done that much with corners in recent years. I mean, maybe Joe occasionally, but it might even go back to the other guy who wore 2-4.
I
mean, like, what does that tell you about yourself and where you're at already at this point in your career?
I just got to keep working, keep grinding, you know. Some rookies always hit that high ceiling, and it's the rookie slump, so I just got to keep working. Like I said before, just chop wood, carry water, and just look forward to the next week.
So you really think
Joey Porter Jr. has earned everything that he's gotten to this point. Yes, the tackling needs to be better. Yeah, he does get a little bit grabby with receivers. And sometimes you hold your breath that there might be a holding call on him or maybe pass interference. You think about that a little bit, but he's earned it. He has the notion, yeah, of course, you know, like everyone T.J. Watt was drafted and oh, everybody was saying, oh, you know, maybe he was drafted because he's J.J. Watt's brother or maybe he won't be as good as J.J. Watt. Yeah, well, T.J. Watt, honestly, by the end of his career compared to J.J. Watt's career, might end up being the better player. Somebody who has 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards in JJ. TJ should at least have 2. He has 1. He should have won the year before. Such a dominant, dominant player who got a sack with his helmet off. TJ's an animal, man. He's a beast. He is somebody that you can't keep contained. And how about Alex Highsmith? He had, I don't want to call it a quiet game. No, it wasn't quiet at all. It wasn't a quiet performance. Effective is probably the right way to put it. 2 tackles, 2 sacks. TJ had a sack. Marcus Golden also had a sack. Good depth piece that really had a solid overall performance. The linebackers were good. And it's really unfortunate that Cole Holcomb's not going to be out there, but this is why he went out and got Quan Alexander. And he got the interception to seal the game. And Landon Roberts has been good. The linebacking core is pretty solid. You do wonder, once you get Minka back, where this is pretty much a mini-buy for the Steelers. Maybe you use Patrick Peterson in a couple of different other types of formations where you just go a lot more nickel. Because all 3 inside linebackers were announced as starters. Final note here. Alex Highsmith generated 11 pressures against the Titans, 9 of which came in a matchup against Andre Dillard, who he absolutely smoked. Highsmith had a great game. It wasn't a quiet game. That wasn't the best comment. It was not quiet from Alex Highsmith by any regard. He was great. He was great. Highsmith now leads the NFL in pressures with 49. His win probability added on sacks, +74%. You want to know the top five? We'll go from 5 to 1. Harrison Smith. Nick Bonetto from the Broncos. Kayvon Thibodeau, stud. Number two is Myles Garrett. Number one is Alex Highsmith. Alex Highsmith is +74%. The next closest is Garrett, +61.5. Alex Highsmith's been great. The very well-compensated defense. In the very end, you held your breath. You bit your nails. But they got the job done. They held on. And Kenny Pickett in the offense, another fourth quarter drive to win it. 5-3. The pre-show's next. Crowley and Doran coming up next. Right here, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. I'm Austin Bechtold. Let's get it going here on a Victory Friday.